but it's, I am, if you haven't quite figured out, entirely individualistic and damn the torpedoes, fuck you, get out of my way. And yet, one of the things is my endless fascination with wanting to be part of a group that is not saying that it's bad, but just recognize it's not something I can do. It's sort of like we're eating liver.
No, but this is, man.
And I'm not trying to be negative or dry, I'm just trying to understand it.
There's no place that I'm walking to your gallery and saying I'm a new pain. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not comfortable labeling myself that I'm not comfortable at all.
Then what did I come back with is if you really aren't, then stop using the damn term.
But what do I show you? I show you my paintings, and they show you what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you press me to find out what is behind them, I'll show you what I'm looking at. I don't know what else to show you.
No, there it's now going back to actual history. I didn't ask to see where you were coming from, who you were looking at, and where your paintings were coming from, until you had said, new paintings. And then I came back and asked, what are these new paintings? Do you have anything that I can wrap my head around, that I can toss off to Jackie, so is that she can have a historical background.
But
you said it's a Sam painting,
but
then that question would have been nuked right from the start, because and we would have had to come up with our own ways into the paintings.
Okay. I can't believe that I am on my own painting.
Yes, you are.
I am, but I'm not the first painter.
No, you're not, but it's you are on your own.
And I'm surrounded by stuff that I've looked at and have been influenced by. And if I have to situate myself, it's more like the minute I walk into a gallery, this is the world, this is, you train this narrow world, you have to position yourself among something.
That's old way of thinking.
Yeah, well.
You read the article.
What do you think our school teaches? Like, this is...
Hello, when you dropped out.
Yeah, but it's still in my fucking head.
And by the way, I think what I might do is in transcribing the interview, take the, every time we say new painting, make up some sort of term.
I would love that. But it is, I mean, it's... I sucked up training in art school.
Yeah, okay, so you sucked up training. That's fine. Picasso did not invent cubism.
Yeah.
However, it's not the sort of thing where he says, I'm doing cubism. No, he said, my name is Picasso, this is what I'm doing.
Okay, but my choice is in situating myself. Anytime I walked through a gallery, I had to situate myself up until now.
Don't. And, actually, hold on a second. You say up until now?
I still am.
Wait, no. Although I recognize now is now, I would also imagine in the course of conversation you're thinking now, was that 3 months ago? Was that
two months? It was probably 6 months from now.
Yeah. 6 months from now?
Yeah, when I stopped doing this.
Okay, that's contrary to what I was thinking, because there I was thinking now of every time I walked into a gallery, I'd situate myself up until now. I was thinking that was probably about 3 or 4 months ago.
Could be that, too. I don't
know. Because there it's then, if it is a now that happened in the past, what's happened since you stopped situating yourself? And if you're not.
And that could be true as well. That's, you know, I don't think that hard about this shit. Like, that's...
I do.
I'm guided by what happens in the studio.
Okay.
And with what makes me feel comfortable keeping on in that studio.
Okay.
And some of those things are finding other painters in the world who are older than me.
And no, there's no problem with that. And to just repeat again, I am being aggressive. I'm not being negative, pejorative, or attacking.
No,
just being aggressive.
No, it's working my brain pretty fucking well. So
there, they then also get on a slightly, softer ground, so we can pick it up again later.
Yeah.
You talk about stuff in the studio and stuff like that. What drives you in the studio? in terms of, in fact, the invented now position of my question.
Yeah.
I find it fascinating because it is, it's the stuff that you're doing, I know I could do.
Yeah.
You have more background, more history, more experience doing it.
Yeah.
But it's basically pouring down cans of paint,
yeah.
Dribbling brushes. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
How the sort of, not the technical part of this, because I can describe that myself even without having seen you do a damn painting, but it's more the, yeah, where does it come to those times to stop pouring a can? The, let me slice here, let me inject the foam there. Where and how, what drives you in terms of making paintings? One thing, and now I'll fall with the mouth on the 3 beers now. Thank you very much. But sort of thing where, like, if I were doing stuff that you'd be doing, I'd be taking those boards and getting big fats, dropping them in, pulling them out, letting that drip, then doing another color, and then sort of twisting it and so on. My technique would be very much different than yours, although my guess would be the end result would be somewhat similar. Yeah, I think to probably make the question precise, and thank you for bearing with me on this to get the precise question, how did you develop your technique? What are the specific things about your technique that you like? And then as the follow-up, where would you like your technique to lead you?
The things that I like about my technique.
Yeah, or how did you develop?
Well, I started with monochromatic things, and they're tight ass masked.
But hello, those are EC's fucking pie. But hello, how difficult this is to do field the fire.
Those were a fuck of a lot easier than what I'm doing now.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't it wasn't like, oh, I just had two colors and three colors. No. It was that was so tight. It was so, one color you have to work really hard, and so I decided to work four times as hard and have more colors. And from there, I mean, it was, you know, I look at other painters and see what they did and nick a few techniques here and there, but you don't really get to go to other painter studios and watch them paint. No one lets you watch them paint. I would never, ever let someone watch me paint.
Stick a webcam. Hi. Hello. Hold on a second. As an aside, there, which one? All these, which one? Porn webcam things about there.
Sure.
How many art students are there who have an extra $5 a month? Put a webcam in. See me in my studio. $5 a month.
No. Okay. Right now, nope.
No problem. It's that might be an interesting way to make money.
My art form.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You start working and you don't know what the hell you're doing. I could draw and I could paint a little bit. I never actually took a painting course. But I suspected, and like you said, I mean, they're all the painting I'm pursuing, you know, through a rocket scientist. I mean, I can fly this leg, I can draw, I can paint. I have once or twice in the past couple of years painted something that looked like something else, and then successfully depth and all that sort of shit.
You better than me.
Aside from that, that was the appeal, actually, is that I didn't know what I was doing. No one could tell me how to correctly do what I was doing. So I was left alone. And that's, it is the solitude of painting and the solitary aspect of it that keeps me painting. I paint every day so that I can come in the studio the next day and paint again. That's, and yes.
To focus a little bit.
Yeah, sorry, because
no, that's okay. It's looking more technique in terms of. Although, yeah, I've heard this, the readers of the interview haven't heard this, but I want technique.
You have to move paint around somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Although it does a good job on its own.
And then to be precise, it is, what is it that, where you just started with the foam injection? Where did that idea of the foam injection come from?
Okay. And then
how do you recognize that that is good or conversely bad so that you're not doing it anymore?
The foam injection specifically was that because I put a lot of paint on all the paintings, was that all of them as I set them up, so they were sitting as they were on a wall. Paint would collect in certain areas and bubble form bubbles. And so that's the month after you finish painting, is then seeing that and going, well, how could I have a bubble earlier on?
Where'd that thought that you want the bubble earlier on come from?
Because the bubbles are going to be there anyway at the end. So it's kind of saying, not I want to control this, but can I? Is there a way? And also, and then there's a whole other realm of this that's about to these paint bubbles mean a lot of paint and a lot of weight. Is there a way I can get a bigger bubble?
Okay, so that's where I'm going in terms of with you suddenly saying, okay, I see that there are bubbles developing.
Yeah.
And then you then took a step back. Can I control the bubbles as opposed to previously, these were just random happenstance because of what you're doing?
But I'd say that was a 6-month process. It was, okay, so there's a 6-month process of seeing these bubbles come up. And the first step was trying to work towards how do I, can I dictate where the bubbles go? I realized I couldn't.
Okay, but then from the real crux of my question is, screw the foam and the bubbles.
Yeah.
Where, said earlier, I can do what you do, but there is really a technique to it. And how did you recognize what was working? That there are certain effects, certain techniques that you use that are repeated over and over again. How did you identify those is, that works, that's what I want? And I imagine there are other ones where, oh geez, that looks sucky. Let me slice that off because I don't like it. Wow, that looks cool. How do you identify those? In terms of, because that's where I would see how you develop your technique, recognizing what turns your crank, what looks good to your eye, versus what doesn't look good to your eye, isn't what you expected, and then trying to manipulate it so as, because I now would say that you're going into an MDF board with a preconceived idea in your head of what it's going to look like. You know what you're experimenting and trying with.
I know the range of what it.
Whereas, when did your studio burn down?
2 years ago, Sunday,
and that was the studio you're doing grid based stuff.
More so, yeah.
At which point, first time you stopped doing the grid based stuff, you had no clue that range. If the range was this large now, or if the range is this large now, of what is going to be the end result of your painting? Back when you started, the range was this large.
Yeah, but the thing that I'd say to that is, I mean, when you're dealing with I mean, color alone, two colors, I have no idea. Six colors, however many I have, and I have no idea how many colors are on a painting line. I can't hold that in my head. I can't.
No, but you can. See, that's where I keep coming back to technique. In terms of you do know how the paint works. I'm not talking about colors, and I don't think actually, even when I asked you to, I think it was the beginning, I asked you to describe the painting, we didn't even get into colors.
But what I would say is that I know a certain amount about my material.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know it all.
As time has progressed, you were knowing more and more.
Absolutely.
And it is a very, no, it's not a learning curve like that, it's a learning curve like that.
Yep.
And whoever transcribes that, figure out my hand gesture there. but it is there, and that's where come back to is, yeah, your paintings are extremely colorful.
Yep.
But if you notice, we have not mentioned color at all in this thing. And
that's true. Okay. So not
it,
color.
It is the technique. It's you look at them, pretend they're all just put back to that monochromatic thing.
I mean, it's. I am still. I mean, I feel like an idiot in this studio half the time because I know my material at this point.
Yeah, no, and that's what I say is you feel like an idiot in the studio. And at which point, and then if you said half the time, what is it that makes you realize that the other half of the time, that's cool?
I'm not conscious of that one. That's the
hello. If you're able to precise it, okay. Well, let's check. It could be 60-40. It could be 75-25. Yeah. Whatever. But it is still there are certain times where you will see something.
Yeah.
That then, given me,
yeah.
Given Jackie, given Veronica, given RBC, yeah, they all agree with it. And at which point, yeah, that is what fascinates me. It's like you take either one of these, Jean-Francois or James's, and they're about as far apart from each other as possible. I can recognize the aesthetic beauty there in both of them.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated, especially from my position as a non-artist, how do you recognize in theory and in advance that this is what you want to try, which is if you're going full beauty, because there is obviously stuff where you just don't want to make it look pretty, but saying, we're going for pretty, this is what I want to go for, and then being able to recognize, yes, that's pretty, no, that's not. That comes down to, sorry for taking 45 minutes to get down to the damn question.
That's fine. No, and that's, and forgive me, because I dodge out of these ones all the time.
You're not dodging it. I think I had difficulty getting
big,
to it.
Dude, no, but this is, I mean, this is, you're asking a really, really big question.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this is.
However, you can bring it down to within the context of your paintings, you make it very small and easy. It's like you look at Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones. I have no idea what chord Keith Richards is playing, but you recognize, yeah, it works.
Yeah. But I'd say the parts where I am able in the studio don't stick out.
So then it's the parts that don't stick out.
Yeah.
So then flip it on its ass. How do you recognize the parts that don't? And then how do you get rid of them?
It's not about getting rid of them. That's,
okay.
That's the big one. Is that it's, if I walked into the studio with a plan, and no, I do this. Here's when I walk in the studio with a plan, and I succeed at it, and there's no way a painting is finished at that point. Because it is the parts that don't fit into what at the beginning I wanted to do that are important. Those are the most important parts of all of my games.
The one that by the beginning is...
Okay, so you set off on a painting, and always the first color I put down, the first layer of paint that I put down, is so thought through, and so... I always have an idea at the beginning. I want to do this. And usually it's from the last painting. Something that happened in the last painting was impossible, difficult, but it stuck. And so the next painting, I start with that. And usually by the end of that painting, all of that is gone and covered up. And it's funny because your hand slowly gets masterful at the things which initially were impossible, difficult. It's inevitable. But all of the axes of control that exist in painting, what worked that one time, or what was an accident, or a misstep that turned out, holy shit, this is a whole new thing. You try another 40 times, and 20 of those times it worked, and 20 of those times it didn't. And sometimes at the end of that, you know why. And sometimes there's still stuff in the paint that I don't have any clue why. Sometimes this doesn't work. Sometimes it works. And I still try it over and over and over again. But that's what keeps me painting. There's some things and I can't, because in my head they're very clear, but I can try to explain them to you. But there's some things I can do in painting. With my eyes closed, this one. No, very, very.
You know, like that effect you talk, that circular sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm certain.
I can do that. You can recreate that.
I can do that, and in those things, I love and I hate.
Well, yeah, it's a certain thing where, okay, once you've mastered the technique,
yeah.
And then at which point, okay, let me go try something hard.
Yeah. The funny one is that six paintings later, after you. You're disgusted by this. I can do this every fucking time. Six paintings, and all of a sudden, that thing becomes absolutely what is new, or you think is. I mean, and that's again, I'll lay that one flat and say, you think that's what it needs, and then sometimes you're right, and you're like, oh my god, this, oh that good old mark, I love that mark. That mark's so great. And then the next painting, you of course want to do it again. And it's so great, line, and it's awesome. But it's that. It's knowing, or my hand knowing what it can do in my head, but also that, and this is where I feel like sometimes my paintings are active participants in this, because there's also a ton of factors that I don't even, until after the fact, consider. I mean, humidity and temperature and all these sorts of things that really intensely affect your painting. Which I've noticed already control, or I don't have the means to. And that's the other one, is that my means to control some things is out of my hands at this point. And some things I am now able to control, which at one point I wasn't.
Yeah.
And then some other things, I mean, I buy different paint in Montreal than I did in Vancouver. I can't take the same red that I did in Vancouver, because there was this amazing red that I picked from my company. And so you have to deal with that. And it's that stuff that keeps me coming to the studio every day. I'm curious. And I'm still curious about this painting. People have said, you know, oh, this will last for a couple of years. You know, your curiosity will wane. And the more that I know with my hand, the more I know with my head, the more I realize that there's also this.
Yeah, well, I can toss off six ideas like that, and it's the stuff you can get in.
And this is and this is you saying, if I was doing what you're doing, I'd have a vat and dip it. And in my head, I can immediately go, well, no, because of this, and this. But, and that's, I said, you know, I'm working a construction job, and I said to the guy, Sam, like, thank you for teaching me everything you have. I'm not going to use any of this in painting in the next year.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. But 6 years from now, I don't know, I might have to build it too. I might have to. And this is any knowledge from outside of painting that I can get about building, a mode is valuable because it's exactly like the spray foam. I have no idea. There's look, and the spray foam's been running in my head for 6 months, and it's but I'm terrified of it because I don't know what to do with it.
Wait till you start dealing with concrete.
Yeah, no, and that's and but this is also. I mean, you overcome things. You I'm fine with hanging my paintings at this point. I know how to hang them. They can be 100 pounds. I can still hang them. And that's so you wind up. There's always this range in which you can work, and you're limited by your means and in size. Right now, I can work up to 6 foot by 4 foot with how I'm building paintings. Should I come to a windfall in the near future, I'll buy tools with which I can build paintings that are 10 foot. Because it's not that a 10 foot painting is important because of whatever our history or something like that. It's that I'm curious about. I mean, I love my paintings that are 6 foot by 4 foot. They do something that the small ones don't.
Mm-hmm.
I love my small ones, but I can always make those. If I have a studio that's a closet, I can make the small things. But I mean, and part of me was, when I get money, we'll make some 10 foot paintings and see what. Because
don't be banking on it.
No, but it's you can, right? And that's that's where it's not an imperative right now that I make 10 foot paintings,
mm-hmm.
but it's that if the means should come by. That's I'm curious about that. And shit, after that, once I make a 10 foot thing, so maybe 25 foot. And maybe I burn myself out. Maybe I go 25 foot, two people, pull back. But it's I'm curious about painting. I want to know what spray foam will do underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And that is more important than the aesthetic stuff that I worked up to on a painting up until that point. I'm more excited about experimentation than I am
mm-hmm.
about a consistency aesthetically. But remarkably, there is a consistency aesthetically.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
Hold on to that. Feel free to talk into the microphone as much as you want.
I have to go after you, so yeah.
Okay. Talk into the microphone.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I got tons more questions. I'd like to talk about the burning of a studio. I'd like to. I can talk to the microphone. Actually, given this sort of thing, the nature of what I've gotten into, because yeah, I think you're like about the 12th interview I've done.
Yeah.
Recognize, yeah, okay, there are all these things, especially for me coming as an outsider. I just love to have like almost a recording at all times that you can pass it on, because then, yeah, you can get a rock and roll attitude about art very easily. However, correct me, no, it's about 10 of 6, which means we,
really?
Yeah, we've been pushing an hour.
Yeah.
Shift.
I gotta leave soon.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's about the limit of anybody's patience for transcribing to. So I will end the official interview with the way that I end all official interviews. Any questions you want me to ask, or any questions that you would like to ask me? I.e., anything you want to get on record that will then get out to the world that you'd like to say about your stuff, or anything you want to ask me?
No. Seriously.
Okay.
I'll speak about my art when directed, but I don't. Sorry to flatly.
Alright, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, at which point then we'll hit the stop button. Because, yes, it does get to me.